I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am. Okay, so. Okay, so I'll just read the translation of this, and we haven't covered text 28, so we'll need to do that as well. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. I just go to 28 and read the verse for that. Shubha shubha phalir evam.
Shubha shubha phalir evam.
Moksha se karma bandhana.
Moksha se karma bandhana.
Sanyas yoga yuktatma.
Sanyas yoga yuktatma.
Vimukto maam upashyasi.
Vimukto maam upashyasi.
In this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me, in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Purport. One who acts in Krishna consciousness under superior direction is called Yukta. The technical term is called Yukta Vairagya. This is further explained by Rupa Goswami as follows. Anashaktasya Vishayam Yatharham Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.255. Rupa Goswami says that as long as we are in this material world, we have to act. We cannot cease acting. Therefore, if actions are performed and the fruits are given to Krishna, then that is called Yukta Vairagya. Actually situated in renunciation, such activities clear the mirror of the mind, and as the actor gradually makes progress in spiritual realization, he becomes completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the end, he becomes liberated, and this liberation is also specified. By this liberation, he does not become one with the Brahmajyoti, but rather enters into the planet of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly mentioned here, Ma Upashyati, he comes to me, back home, back to Godhead. There are five different stages of liberation, and here it is specified that the devotee who has always lived his lifetime here under the direction of the Supreme Lord, as stated, has evolved to the point where he can, after quitting this body, go back to Godhead and engage directly in the association of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. Such a person always think of himself as an eternal servant, dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. As such, whatever he does it for the benefit of the Lord. Whatever action he performs it as a service to the Lord. He does not give serious attention to the fruitive activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may sometimes appear to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually it is not so. It is said, therefore, by Vaishnava authorities that even the most intelligent person cannot understand the plans and activities of a pure devotee. The exact words are Tantra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigneha Na Bujhaya Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 23.39. A person who is thus always engaged in the service of the Lord or is always thinking and planning how to serve the Lord is to be considered completely liberated at present and in the future. His going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. He is above all materialistic criticism, just as Krishna is above all criticism. Om Agyanati Virantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Ena Tasmay Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Abhano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Svapadantipam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Chukrapat Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnava. Shri Rupam Sahajataram Sahagana Navadatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam He Krishna Karna Santo Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gonagi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwanu Sukhate Pranamami Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
reading chapter 9, which is entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. And this chapter comes just in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. So there are total 18 chapters in Bhagavad Gita, and this is the 9th chapter. And the title of this chapter is very significant. It says, The Most Confidential Knowledge. Because Krishna is revealing in this chapter pure devotional service. How you can render service to Him, what is a proper way of rendering service to Him, and how we can go back home, back to Godhead, by just rendering pure devotional service to Him. And Krishna is explaining in step by step how do you do that. So today we are reading text 28. So the two verses before this verse are very much related. So these three verses actually talk about only pure devotional service. So, two weeks before we read about wherein Krishna was saying, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. And then Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, or whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. And now Krishna is saying, so if you do these two things, with love and devotion, offer me whatever you have, doesn't matter, I don't need big offerings. If you just offer with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, and then he says that whatever you eat, whatever you do, if you do that as an offering to me, I will accept it. And now he says that if you do these two things, you will be freed from the bondage of this material life, material suffering. Although you are in this material world, you will no longer be under the influence of the material energy existing within this world. What does it mean? He says that you will be freed from the bondage of all the auspicious and inauspicious results that come as a part of whatever most of the other people in this world are doing. So to elaborate, 99.9999% people in this world are engaged in something or the other. And in Sanskrit terminology, we call that as they are engaged in karmic activities. So we call it karmic activities because they are doing it for their self-enjoyment. Because Krishna is not the center of whatever they are doing. So when we do such activities which are not centered towards Krishna, we get entangled in the cycle of birth and death, as Krishna explains repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita. Birth, old age, disease and death. So you get entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. So you change from one body to another. We are not this body, we are soul. And that is the crux of Bhagavad Gita, over which the entire conversation is centered around. So because we are not body, we are spirit souls, our original identity is that we are servants of Krishna. So, but since we are engaged in worldly activities, we get, since we are engaged in worldly activities, we are entitled for the fruit, we are entitled for whatever the karmic reactions comes out of whatever we do. So now Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, if you do that, if you offer the results of your work, your actions to me, you will get free from the bondage of birth and death. And then he says, with your mind fixed on me, in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Now he mentions sannyas yoga yuktatma vimukto ma upasyasi. A very special, a significant word comes in this, which is renunciation. So what does that mean? On one side he's saying that whatever you do, whatever you eat, if you offer the results of that activity to me, you will get free from the bondage of material suffering, birth and death. And then he says, he uses the word renunciation in this. So Prabhupada in the Purport says that anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. So whenever we talked about, whenever we think about renunciation, we think about sannyasis or brahmacharis who have dedicated their lives full time in the service of the Lord. And then we, as worldly people, think that how can we renunciate because we are engaged every day, we go to office, we do so many things at home, we take care of our family, children. Then how come this renunciation, how can renunciation be a part of then whatever we do? So Prabhupada explains in this that anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. Such a person always thinks of himself as an eternal servant, dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. As such, whatever he does it for the benefit of the Lord. Whatever action he performs it as a service to the Lord. Now, in one of the lectures, Prabhupada explains that this particular verse which we are talking today is specifically for karmi people. Because initially Krishna says that you just surrender to me, offer a leaf, flower or a fruit. And then he says that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, whatever austerities you perform, do that to son of Kunti as an offering to me. Now, all of a sudden he changes his context and says that because he knows that most of the people in this world are engaged in worldly activities. So how do you bring that big mass of people closer to Krishna? So that's how he's saying. He's saying, if you are going to office, do that. Whatever you want to eat, then but he specifies whatever what has to be eaten. He says that only fruit, vegetables, leaves, like that. And it doesn't include meat, fish and eggs. So when he says that whatever you eat doesn't mean that we should eat meat, fish and eggs. So he clearly explains in the previous verse that what should be eaten. And he says that, so because most of us are engaged in material activities, he says that, and he knows that it will take some time for us to come to pure devotional platform. So he says that slowly, gradually, so he wants us to come to that platform gradually, not immediately. He doesn't say us that, just leave everything and come and surrender to me. So he's saying that, if you go to office, you do work, whatever you do, think that the fruits of this activity, the fruits of your action are offering to Krishna. Offer those fruits of your activities to me. In this way, you will develop some renunciation within your heart and then you'll come closer to me. Now this particular verse, and then if you do that, you will be freed from the bondage of bondage to work. To work and its auspicious and inauspicious words, he says that. Okay, so now, so he talked about these three things, he talked about these points in these three verses. Now he says that if you do these things, you will get liberated. Now there are five stages of liberation Prabhupada explains in this verse. So devotees do not desire for liberation. They only desire for pure devotional service. But as a result, so in those five stages of liberation, so now Prabhupada explains in the Purport that if you do what Krishna says in these three verses,
you will get liberated, but you won't, it doesn't mean that you will get liberated and you will enter into Brahma Jyoti. Most of the times when people talk about liberation, they think about impersonal aspect of the Lord, wherein you just want to merge with the impersonal Brahman, which is Brahma Jyoti, the effulgent light, and just meditate there. And ultimately what happens once you are there in that Brahma Jyoti, which is the effulgence coming out from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you just keep meditating there, and then after some time you again fall down to the material world. So our goal of life should not be to get liberated from this material world. Our goal of life should be to become an eternal servant of Krishna, and wherein you are engaged 24 hours a day in the service of Krishna. So now in this material world, because we are here right now, how do we prepare ourselves to go, to come to a platform wherein we become an eternal servant of Krishna, wherein we get freed from the cycle of birth and death? So many times Prabhupada explains in his lectures that just render devotional service, just do chanting, just follow the order of Guru and Krishna, engage in book distribution. There are so many things within International Society for Krishna Consciousness that whatever interest we have, we can just dovetail that interest in the service of Krishna. If someone likes painting, he can paint for Krishna, the temple of Krishna. Like recently in the month of July, we did this, the painting of this hall, and many devotees came forward. So we did this by ourselves. There are people who like talking to, there are some devotees who like preparing prasadam, so they are engaged in the service of Krishna by making prasadam. There are devotees who like going on Harinam, so they are engaged in the service of Krishna by going out on streets and doing Harinam. So whatever interest you have, you can dovetail your interest in such a way that somehow or the other you are performing devotional service to the Lord. And in this way, gradually, you will come to a platform wherein you will be ready to see Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada says that in this purpose, one more thing, that it is clearly mentioned here, Ma Upasyasi, he comes to me, back home, back to Godhead. So what is back home, back to Godhead? It is a place where Lord Krishna is present, performing his eternal sweet pastimes with the residents of Vrindavan, and that place is called Goloka Vrindavan. So what is happening there? Krishna is there in his eternal youthful form, doing so many leelas, pastimes with gopis and gopas and cows and calves. And the devotees of Krishna aspire to be a particle of dust of his lotus feet, or engage in some way or the other in his service there in Goloka Vrindavan. But then on the other side, we see that many a times we see pure devotees of the Lord here in this material world, they are just engaged in somehow or other spreading the message of the Lord and bringing the souls who have forgotten their real identity, making them remember that you are not this body, you are actually an eternal servant of Krishna. So we see how Prabhupada, in 1966, how he came to the United States and started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And today, we have so many temples all over the world, and people are coming, becoming devotees, performing devotional service, chanting holy names, and taking some steps forward to come closer to Krishna day by day. So now, these devotees, they come to this world to deliver the fallen souls like us from the cycles of birth and death. So they take this pain of coming from the spiritual world to this material world and help us come closer to Krishna, help us understand that we have forgotten our real identity and we are eternal servants of Krishna. So if these pure devotees are not there, We won't be able to know what is our real goal of life. What should we do? So in one way, this material world, and especially this human life, is a blessing for all of us to realize, to understand the real goal of life, which is to somehow or other engage in the devotional service and become a servant of Krishna by chanting his holy name. And also then Prabhupada in the purport talks about rituals. So in the previous verses, Krishna, while talking to Arjuna, he says that those who worship demigods are not as dear to me as those who worship me directly. So now, why do people worship demigods? And why most of the people do not worship Krishna? So one of the explanations which our acharyas give is that worshipping demigods is like having some kind of deal between the Lord and yourself. So you go to demigods, you offer them something, you do some elaborate sacrifices, and then in return you are actually asking for some material benefits. Big home, salary, job, wife, kids, anything. So, and actually it happens. Actually you do get material benefits out of that. But then, you're not actually doing what is expected of you, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. On the other side, you see most of the devotees of Krishna, they're not very rich. If you compare it to other materialists outside. And then one may think that I do so many austerities, I chant the holy names, I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Japa Veds every day, I do so much devotional service, but still a materialist from outside world might think that still they're not so well off materially if you compare. Because those devotees carry bhakti in their heart for Krishna, and that is your supreme asset. So Prabhupada says here in the purport that he does not give serious attention to the fruitive activities or prescribed duties. So he says, now he's talking about the devotees of Krishna, his own devotees. He says that he does not give serious attention to the fruitive activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, It is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. They perform so elaborate sacrifices. And for that, we really need to have a lot of resources, like pure ghee, Brahmins, cows, horses, elephants, all those big sacrifices. If you have to do, you really need to have all these resources. And in this material, right now, in this age, you don't have all those resources with you. But still, the materialist persons who worship demigods, they are really they really pay serious attention to the all these rituals which are mentioned in the Vedas. So Prabhupada says here that a devotee of Krishna does not give serious attention to the fruitive activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may sometimes appear to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually it is not so. So, just to elaborate this point more, sometimes people who worship demigods, they come to temple and they see that while we perform puja or arati, we offer 6 to 7 items to the Lord. And then they sometimes question that, you also do this, we also do this while we worship the demigods. So what is the difference? So Prabhupada says that although a devotee of the Lord may sometimes appear to be engaged in services which are as per the in rituals which are as per the Vedas, but actually it is not so.
So when we are offering those, when we are doing deity worship and offering those stuffs, we in our mind that is as an act of devotion. We know that whatever we are offering is basically we are offering whatever this earth is composed of. On the other side, when materialists outside who worship demigods, they offer those stuffs. They offer with a thought in mind that we want to get material benefits out of it. So there is a difference in the intention. That's why it is said that Krishna is after your devotion, bhakti. He doesn't need any material things from us. What he needs is that what is our intention behind whatever we are offering to him. So it doesn't matter if it is just a leaf, a flower or a fruit. If you are offering it with pure loving devotion, with so much bhakti in your heart, he will happily accept it. So with these words, I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take it for 1 minute. We have 1 minute, so maybe I can read one of the explanation which is given by Baladev Vidya Bhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he, for this verse, he says that, okay.